Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. We are kicking off Razzies Month with an absolute fun as hell episode. So, just to let you know, for the next 4 weeks, we are going to be doing Razzie themed episodes. So, strap in because we're in for some fun times. And here to join me for those fun times is my absolutely fun wife, Carrie. Carrie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Aw, I'm fun.
You are fun. This topic, however, might not have been fun for you because we are going to be talking about the worst movie nominees of the 1990s. So let me put this into perspective here. We went through the list of Razzie nominees for worst movie of the year in the 1990s. So that was movies that were released in 1990 to 1999. So that's 10 years worth of nominees and about 5 movies each. So we're looking at 50 movies to pick from, and we're going to pick 3 of them each. A keep, a watch, and a pass. The keep, of course, is one that, you know what? It's not a worst movie of the year, and we kind of actually like it. The watch is, yeah, it could use some work, but you know what? There's a silver lining in there. And the pass is, well, it got nominated for a damn good reason. And we're going to start with our keep film. So, Carrie, of the worst movie nominees of the 1990s, what is your keep film?
Okay, before we begin, I just have to say that we'll always have Blair Witch.
We will always have Blair Witch.
And that aside, so I just had to give that an honorable mention because, you know, if you know, you know.
Oh, I know.
But I also want to add a category. And I'm not sure if I'm going to lead with it or follow it up. But since I'm talking about it now, I want... Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen all of these 50 movies. I'm not giving an accurate appraisal of all of the worst movies of the 90s. However, one intrigued me. One title caught my eye and I never saw it. And I kind of, I need to fix that.
Okay.
Okay. So Ghosts Can't Do It.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I'm like, really? I never actually thought of that. But now that you mention, I need to know more. I don't know why. Maybe I'm broken.
Well, we have already determined that you are, yes, in a little bit of a ways broken, but go on.
But I think, you know, I really need to polish up on the assignment. But that aside, so we're talking about my keep movie. I got to take it back to, you know, 1990. I don't even remember the year, but Cool as Ice. Ice Baby.
Too cold.
I mean, come on. How could I not pick Robert Van Winkle shows up in a small town on a big honking hog of a motorcycle and falls in love with, I don't know, like, teenage drama queen or whatever. And anyway, so it's just such a, you know, stereotypical, like, high school, I don't know, dramance. Like, it's, anyway, had to go with it. I had to.
I never thought I would see the day when Vanilla Ice, yeah, Vanilla Ice, is paired up in a movie with the dad from Family Ties, Michael Gross. Like, the what? the what? For the record, at the Razzies that year, it was nominated for Worst Picture because, of course, we're talking about it. Did not win. However, Vanilla Ice won for Worst New Star at the Razzies that year. So didn't come away empty-handed. There's still that. I will admit that I have not seen this film, and I count myself lucky because of that. But the funny thing is, like, there was a moment, and there are actors out there where they have that moment where they are the biggest thing in the world. And you cannot argue that in that era, in that year, okay, 1991, Vanilla Ice is one of the biggest things going in pop culture. Whether you agree with it or not, you can't deny it.
Well, it's either this or when he was doing the ninja rap in the Ninja Turtles.
You're not helping
movie.
Matters here. Yeah. You're not. You're just not. Like, you just mentioned two things from the 90s that need to go. Like, if I had a time machine, this might not happen. But again, I have not seen it, so I'm not going to cast aspersions on a film that I have not seen. I'm just saying that I was not a Vanilla Ice fan in the day, so I wasn't.
Oh, I was part of the VIP posse. Yeah.
So. I don't even know you.
Oh, you know.
Check your rock card at the door. Okay, my keep film is a ton of fun, an absolute ton of fun. I'm going with Wild Wild West. This is peak comedy era Will Smith in an action comedy movie. You've got Kevin Klein, who is still riding high from The Fish Called Wanda and Fierce Creatures days. And I don't care what the critics say, Fierce Creatures is a damn funny movie. By the way, Fierce Creatures does qualify for It's Not That Bad, and I would defend that with a pitchfork if ever asked to. So if you ask me, I'd do it. But I mean, it's a fun steampunk film, and I think I like this film even more because if you've ever watched An Evening with Kevin Smith, and he's talking about how he was being asked to write a film, like a Superman film, and the producer was all about what about spiders? Spiders are like the most dangerous creature in the world. And then he went to go see Wild Wild West and there's all these spiders. It's the same producer that Kevin Smith had to deal with. So we lost out on a Superman film. This is what we got. And it is. It's a ton of fun. And I think it's mainly because Will Smith is having fun and Kevin Klein is having a ton of fun. And like, it's so over the top and so big and so loud that you can't help but have a good chuckle at this one.
And the theme song was catchy too.
Wild Wild West. I mean, that was the era, right? You know, speaking of stars who were the everything at that moment, this was, again, peak massive box office bonanza Will Smith. Now, was this film a box office success? Not necessarily.
The 90s brought us some really good rap, though.
Did it?
Vanilla Ice.
Did it really?
Yes.
You just said
Will Smith.
You just said brought us some really good rap and fall. And the first name you came up with was Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
I don't even know you.
There's also Spice World and the Bodyguard soundtrack.
Okay. Right?
The Whitney Houston Bodyguard soundtrack.
I will give you the Bodyguard soundtrack because that was very much an album of its time.
Like the 90s was all about the music, really.
I'd even give you the Spice Girls, right?
Yeah.
Like I could handle the Spice Girls over Vanilla Ice any day. You said VIP Posse and I count you out.
Oh, the Last Action Hero soundtrack? Come on.
Well, since you mentioned the Last Action Hero soundtrack, my watch film is Last Action Hero. And yes, this is one of the best soundtracks of the 90s. Like, do we need to put the list in there? Because I'm going to put the list in there. You got Anthrax, you have Def Leppard, you have Queensryche, you have AC/DC, you have some of the biggest names in rock and metal at the time. And I just listed some of my favorite acts of all time in Anthrax and Queensryche. By the way, fans of There Can Only Be One, we have done an Anthrax episode, an AC/DC episode, and a Def Leppard episode. So we got a lot of this covered, but none of these songs, except for Two Steps Behind from Def Leppard, because that was also on the retroactive CD. So that could qualify. But the others, no. And I guarantee you at some point we are going to do a Queensryche episode because that needs to happen. And I'm surprised and ashamed of myself that I haven't done it yet. But here's the funny thing with this. The concept of this movie is actually really good. The kid gets tossed into a movie and has to ride along and basically be the sidekick to the action star. You know, you've got another one of those great Arnie Stallone gags in the film. You have the movie debut of Bridget Wilson Sampras. Like, I get it's not the best film, but it's a fun one. And if you just unplug your brain for a bit, and that's all you got to do, just unplug your brain. This is funny as hell.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
But Carrie, what is your watch film from worst movie nominees of the 90s?
Well, my watch movie is Armageddon. You know what? It really, I can't understand why it took any hate, because it was such a lovely, like, completely out there love story.
Oh, I mean, let's be honest here. This is where the Michael Bay isms really start. Yeah, Bad Boys before this, and, you know, The Rock got a lot of attention. That was cool, no problems. But Armageddon was really where the Michael Bay-isms start. You know, his love of military porn and rah-rah America and all the low camera angles and the slow-mo stand-up and looking off into the middle third. Like, everything that is Michael Bay, for good or for bad, starts really here. Yes, you could point to The Rock and say, well, there's a little bit there as well. Yes, you could point to Bad Boys and say, well, there's a little bit. No. Armageddon is really the pinnacle of Michael Bayness, you know, and any complaints you have about the Transformers films, you can directly point to this film, but Bruce Willis is solid in it. I agree with you with this. Liv Tyler is actually really good in this. I actually liked her in this. And yes, it is a fun adventure romp with people that are way out of their freaking league, you know. You have Steve Buscemi completely off the rails. You know, you've got Michael Clark Duncan, who is just an absolute teddy bear in this. Like, if you, everyone's going to find something that they like in it. It's big, it's loud, it's noisy, it's popcorn fare. Don't look any more into it than that. But
and
yes.
I can't hear the Aerosmith song without, like, seeing like screenshots from this movie.
And because I respect Steven Tyler so much, I refuse to sing. It's not. We've been doing way too much singing on these shows recently, and our list. I'm surprised people haven't started raising pitchforks and working their way to the Canadian border, going, "Please, for the love of God, stop! We'd rather listen to Vanilla Ice."
Somebody shut that man down.
Take his microphone away and just let him be an idiot in the basement without a microphone. All right,
we'll give him one of those Fisher Price ones.
Oh, one of the ones that echoes?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's for your trailer eyes.
Can I?
Isn't that what you do?
Stop feeding me good ideas. Don't tempt me with a good time, woman. All right. So we are talking worst movie nominees of the 90s. And now we're getting to those picks here. So what is your pass movie?
Oh, God. It's Pat. You know what? Okay. So this has nothing to do with the whole there, she, he, I don't know, thing that we've gotten to, that we're here today in the 20s, you know, 24. And I completely believe in, you know, identifying however someone chooses. So I really feel like that's my disclaimer. Okay. But this, the whole It's Pat thing, this was what, in the 90s, right? It mm-hmm. was years ago. It was years previous to any sort of, it was funny. I think my head is going to explode because I don't think it was funny at all. I didn't even like the SNL sketches. So to make an entire movie out of it.
Yeah. Like,
I think it was just like, why did they have to make this character? Why did they make this character? B, why did they have to make the character so annoying and nasally and whiny? And it's, you know what? Again, I am all for all people to identify however you identify. And I really think that this movie and this concept and this character was just, it didn't need to happen. And it was, again, it was a different time and it was years previous. But I think it's just, even to think back on it, I'm like, that's just a big gray area that just should have never happened. That's all I'm going to say.
I would rather have watched 90 minutes of Chris Farley living in a van down by the river.
Oh, but Chris Farley was funny.
But that's what I'm saying. Even that character had more development than It's Pat. Like, there were...
The church lady.
I would rather watch the church lady.
Satan?
I would rather watch the church lady in like some kind of, you know, spoof film on moral rights and whatnot. Like, the whole PMRC, like if the church lady is going to go to Washington to try to get something, you know, evil from happening and try to save the children, like that would have been way funnier than this. It's Pat is not good. It doesn't have the background. It doesn't have the character development to warrant a movie. The Ladies' Man is a much better film than this. The Wayne's World films, Coneheads, The Blues Brothers, Night at the Roxbury. We have good Saturday Night Live films. This ain't it. It's not. And it felt like every character on SNL was getting a film. Stewart Saves His Family. Superstar. Like, really? You had one-note jokes that were getting films. And they kept doing it. Why? Why? Oh, why? But now we get to my past film. Which is surprisingly not It's Pat. My past film is Rocky V. Now, hear me out on this one here. I recognize that Rocky IV is not the best film, but I would still defend it to the ends of the earth because I loved Rocky IV and the soundtrack is killer. Rocky V took the love out of the Rocky franchise for me. You know, with the whole Tommy Gunn, like, no. Just do what everyone else does. Forget Rocky V exists and go straight from Rocky IV to Rocky Balboa. Because that's kind of what it feels that Rocky Balboa did. It forgot that Rocky V existed and kind of retold the older Rocky story in a way that it should have. And Rocky Balboa, phenomenal film. People loved it. I loved it. It's a great movie. Rocky IV, yes, it's of its time. It's a Cold War era film. I get it. Montages for days with the Vince DiCola soundtrack and Dolph Lundgren. If he dies, he dies. Like, freaking love Rocky IV. And one day we're going to do a Rocky IV episode. One day. But not Rocky V. I don't even know if I can defend Rocky V. I can't. I just can't. It's not fun. It's not a good time at the theaters. It's just not. Okay, Carrie, before we go, now that I've had my stickers bar and we're good to go, what are your keep, watch, and pass picks for the worst movie nominees from the 1990s?
I'm keeping Cool as Ice, Ice Ice Baby. I am watching Armageddon every time it's on, and I am definitely passing on It's Pat.
And I am keeping Wild Wild West. I am watching Last Action Hero, and I am passing on Rocky V. And remember that this is the first episode of our Razzies special month. So you got three more episodes after this of Keep Watch Pass on the Mondays, where we're going to be having Razzie-themed episodes. Until next time, you guys know the drill. If there is a topic that you want us to cover or a movie that you would like us to do an episode of It's Not That Bad on, hit us up on social media at Not That Bad Cast or go to our website at notthatbadcast.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out our coming soon page and see all the episodes that we're getting ready to record. Drop us your thoughts. We want to shout you out on these shows. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, she's Carrie. I'm Jay. You guys are awesome. This is Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.